ready.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind.
To BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player ranking, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the BFD Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Joe Jefferson, lead editor of BFDFantasyFootball.com. Thanks for joining us tonight. Tonight is December 8th, 2015. Just finished week 13 of the NFL season. Heading into week 14 of the NFL season, that is the beginning of playoff time for fantasy football. So primetime fantasy football, no matter what type of format you're playing out there, it's pretty much do or die time. So welcome, everyone. We appreciate everybody listening live, everybody who is downloading later, wherever you may be. We genuinely appreciate your support. For those who haven't, please do get on over to the website, bfdfantasyfootball.com. We still have a ton of great content coming out on a weekly basis. Rankings twice a week, early before the Thursday game, and then, of course, in preparation for the weekend's action. My blog's over there. We got free agents. Free agents are slowing down for most leagues now. Most of the leagues, big leagues we're playing in, you can't really add free agents. We will keep some free agent reporting for those of you that can add. And, of course, Dave Terpoli, my co-host here on the site, writer for BFD, of course, has got his weekly DraftKings article. Yeah, again, you can find that on the website on Saturdays. Last week, I thought, really hit on some great lineup options, so I was able to take advantage, win a little bit of money last weekend. That being said, let's go ahead and bring on our co-host, Dave Terpoli. Dave, how are you
doing
tonight?
What's going on? Yeah, it's playoff time, ready to make some money.
All right, baby. And again, please check out our promo on our homepage. I forgot to mention with our great partners over at DraftKings.com. If you open a new account with DraftKings from our homepage, you'll save 50% on the remainder of the year for BFD subscription if you haven't done so already. Hey, man, tonight we got a great show lined up. We're going to chat, of course, about weekly injuries and what the implications are, what we saw a bit last week in review, and, of course, try to preview as much of what we think we're going to be seeing both this week and moving forward for the remainder of the season. We'll talk a bit about some free agents for those that can still add free agents, and then we're going to chat a bit more about DraftKings. This is the last week to qualify for the Fantasy Football World Championships and that huge $5 million grand prize. I know I'll be giving it a shot here this final week, so I want to pick your brain a little bit. Again, I know it's early in the week, but let's try to spend a little bit of time on that this week. Kicking it off with some injury news, we can go over and talk about Jay Cutler given concussion protocol after a big hit in San Francisco last week. Had no problem, should be just fine. What do you think about Jay Cutler's play recently?
Outside of the last game where he really was not very good, he's been pretty solid under John Fox and Adam Gase. So, I mean, I like him this week. I mean, he's a guy that against Washington I would use if I'm really desperate. I'm sure there's probably some other options out there, but he'll be fine to play, and he'll definitely feed the ball to Alshon Jeffrey a ton.
Yeah, let some people down last week, but like you said, had been hot up until that point. So, you know, got to think that, like you said, he's got some value, maybe worth some starts down here. But, you know, hopefully you do have better options if you're in the playoffs. But, you know, again, let some people down in daily format last week, but could be a guy to keep your eye on. Another guy that's kind of banged up, Matt Hasselbeck, quarterback as well, diagnosed with a, you know, just stiff neck, some rib separation, got an MRI, expected to be fine moving forward. You know, hopefully we'll know a little bit more later this week as far as his availability for this weekend. You expect him to go?
He'll absolutely be out there. I mean, he's a veteran. He'll be ready. They're not going to probably practice him much this week. Scary part about the whole thing is what could have been if they would have just done anything against Pittsburgh. I was pretty much all over the Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Big Ben last week. Even D'Angelo Williams, if you used him in a lot of spots. I mean, they put up monster numbers and the game was a blowout. If Hasselbeck would have just done anything, I mean, who knows how big of the stats that Pittsburgh would have had. I mean, it's actually scary to even think about. I mean, them guys could have, Antonio Brown could have had 60 fantasy points easily.
Yeah, you and I have talked a lot about Pittsburgh love moving forward.
Scariest team in the playoffs. That's one team out of anybody in the NFL that I do not want to play. Yes, their defense is very suspect, but to me, they're the best offensive team in football. And I think it's by far.
Yeah, really seen them this weekend, really confirmed that, I thought. You know, amazing that, you know, all the other sort of offensive juggernauts really kind of struggling at this point in the year, but they're really starting to put it together. Andrew Luck has resumed throwing over the last couple of weeks. You expect to see him back anytime soon?
The Matt Hasselbeck love affair died last week when they got smoked by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So whenever Luck's ready, he'll be out there. I mean, he's their big, big play guy. I mean, his suspect as he was playing before the injury. If they want to make any serious playoff run, they need him, and they need him healthy. So I would think one more week, and then they're going to try to get him out there because Houston's right behind them. And not that Houston's a really good football team, but that division is just as bad as the NFC East right now.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, he can get back out there sooner rather than later. They certainly need him. Eli Manning also a bit banged up. Undergoing some x-rays on his right ankle. You know, certainly I think he'll be out there.
He really has no choice. I mean, they have no other option. I mean, he's been absolutely terrible the last couple of games. I mean, outside of Odell Beckham just making plays, I mean, he's bailing Eli Manning out from, you know, front page news. I mean, Tom Coughlin and his moron moves at the end of that game against the Jets. I mean, between the both of them, I mean, they've just made some just bonehead calls this year that have just cost them teams games that they should have won. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick storm back and beat you. I mean, it would be scary. The Giants offense would be probably one of the worst in football if you took Odell Beckham off of. He's that good. I mean, literally, he should never have a game where he doesn't have 12 to 18 targets. He's pretty much all they have. Their running game is just a disgrace.
Sorry about that. I was just trying to try a different connection. Still getting a little bit of an echo issue. Super frustrating. Blog talk really screwing up here. Sorry, Manning. You were just talking about Manning. I'm going to move on to some running back injuries. C.J. Anderson here in Denver missed the second half. What do you think about the running back situation?
I mean, I still think they're going to depend on it. I mean, if Anderson's ready to go, if not, it'll just be Ronnie Hillman. I mean, both guys are serviceable. I mean, I don't think one of them is going to separate themselves from the other right now. I just think, you know, with Osweiler's quarterback, and hopefully they stay that way, they just run the football and play defense because so far it's been successful. And Denver is definitely a team that, you know, with all the injuries in New England and then Cincinnati just always collapsing in the playoffs, Denver has a chance to make a Super Bowl run out of the AFC. I mean, do I think they're going to beat New England? No, but I mean, if they keep playing the format that they're playing, why not? I mean, home field advantage in Denver is not something that, you know, will be easy for any team to come to. So keep running the football, whether it's C.J. Anderson back or Ronnie Hillman, and Denver will be fine.
Yeah, I do expect Anderson to be back. As far as who do you like moving forward, Anderson or Hillman?
I still like Hillman. I just still think he's the better option. I mean, Anderson, you know, as lately has been coming on, but I think Hillman just brings a little bit more to the team right now. They're both running back by committee guys. I mean, I think Hillman had 75% of the carries before. I mean, I obviously C.J. Anderson got banged up, but in a game this week against Oakland, I believe they play. I mean, it should be a heavy dominated run game.
Yep.
At Denver, I mean, this is a game they should win pretty easily, you would think, playing the football they're playing lately. I mean, it's a game they need to win, obviously, for home field advantage options. Right now, they are the number one seed. So, big game for them, and I expect a lot of Ronnie Hillman if C.J. Anderson's not ready. And if he is, pretty much a 50-50, 60-40 maybe, with either one leading it. But nobody really, you know, stepping out of clouds.
I don't know why I think the Broncos are the two seed. But they get to play Cincinnati anyway. You know, the Broncos really putting it together. Brock Osweiler continuing to play well, you know, unspectacular, but, you know, with their defense really leading the way, they don't need a ton from him in order to be successful.
You're talking about defense is kind of injured right now, too. So, I mean, the defense is playing great with missing, you know, DeMarcus Ware, guys like that. I mean, win the games you're supposed to win and let the cards play out, because right now Osweiler is doing exactly what they need their quarterback to do. Make plays when he needs to, run the football, and let the defense do what the defense needs to do. Something Peyton Manning wasn't doing. I would like to see him involved in Demaryius Thomas more, but, I mean, he caught a touchdown early in that game. Really didn't do much the rest of the game. So it could be like an off and on him, Emmanuel Sanders week. You just don't know what you're going to get. So from a fantasy perspective, it could be a little scary. But from an NFL perspective, Denver's just as good right now, with, like I said, with all the injuries in New England. So just run the football, let Osweiler make plays. They'll be fine.
I still have confidence in the receivers, Sanders and Thomas,
as fantasy starters.
Yeah, it's just their ceiling's not as high. Fantasy, you know, season long, absolutely. Daily, I mean, I think you almost have to avoid them in every format. Their ceiling isn't as high as some other guys.
DT in games that Denver's really got to push the ball would be my guy, but this weekend, probably avoid them both. Hey, from one homer conversation to another, what's going on with the Eagles running back situation?
Who the heck
Ryan Matthews. Expects to play this weekend, coming back from that concussion after sitting out a couple weeks. What do you make of the situation there in Philly?
First of all, I'm still trying to figure out how they beat the Patriots. I mean, there isn't one person in Philadelphia who was just not, you know, spitballing that actually thought they were going to go into Foxborough and win after the two dreadful performances they had. So,
yeah,
can't get too excited about that. It's a win. I mean, obviously, we're on the same team here, so it helps you because it helps Denver. So that definitely, you know, BFD's happy over this. But from a fantasy perspective, I have no idea right now. The best running back on that team right now from going forward, you would think, would be Darren Sproles. DeMarco Murray meeting with the owner. I'm a DeMarco Murray guy. I just don't think they're using him right. But frankly, watching Kenyon Barner running that offense last week, I think it's time to just let the speed take it. You know, let it be Matthews, let it be Sproles, let it be Barner. I mean, I know you paid DeMarco Murray a lot of money, but if you're not going to use him the way he's supposed to be used, I mean, he's just not a guy who's going to be running around, you know, a lot. He's a north-south runner, and he's a guy who's going to, you know, run people over, you would think. I mean, that's what he did last year in Dallas. Ryan Matthews is going to bring more speed. Darren Sproles, you obviously saw against New England, he gave them fits. And Kenyon Barner has the speed to get outside, so right now, it's a fantasy perspective that I would totally avoid at all costs. But if I had to pick one guy, it would be Darren Sproles.
Yeah, I like Matthews and Sproles, I suppose. I agree with that Sproles call, though, particularly from a PPR standpoint. The guy can catch the ball and makes him fairly consistent.
He's got a couple returns here. You saw that he could bring to the table, I mean, and he also gets the dynamic of possibly bringing a punt back, which is, you know, in any league, it's still solid 6-point touchdown. So
yeah, I think that was the second of the year.
Yeah, I mean, guys like that bring a slight bonus. Obviously, you can't depend on that, but he is, in my opinion, the guy. If you're going to start somebody in Philadelphia, it would be Sproles, because at this point, you can't depend on Murray.
You definitely can't depend on Murray.
I agree with that.
Chip Kelly, of course, not helping us at all and giving any sort of direction on this.
Absolutely
but
not.
I think the bulk of the season really looked like the best back, and with him back, he may play a prominent role.
He just can't stay on the field. It's been his whole career. I mean, it's just every season you think it's going to be different. I mean, he breaks out. He has, you know, a couple good games this year, and then concussion. That's 2-3 games. I mean, he's been banged up, nicked up. I mean, I don't understand how the guy can't stay on the field. It's just, it looks like he's cursed.
Talk about big punt returns that helped me out a lot in fantasy with Antonio Brown's return where he jumped on the post. I was loving that.
How can you not love Antonio Brown right now? Guys like Antonio Brown, Allen Robinson are going to win people tons of money coming up. I mean, just target monsters. Big Ben, as long as Big Ben stays on the field, Antonio Brown is the number one fantasy player for the rest of the season, in my opinion. Right up, Odell Beckham's a close second, but they're two guys that if you got them, you're smiling because they're going to definitely win you some money.
Yeah, those two, wanted some money on drafting last weekend.
Sure did.
Chris Thompson, undergoing an MRI after Monday's game. You don't really know what his status is. That Redskin running back situation, though, pretty dismal. Anybody there worth rostering or any upside?
To me, there's only one guy on that team that's worth rostering, and it's Matt Jones. I think they finally, you would think, have given up on Alfred Morris. I mean, he's just a stiff. I mean, he's just not a good NFL running back. I mean, there's guys that, you know, are third string guys that are, in my opinion, better than Alfred Morris that bring more to the table. I mean, he just, from a fantasy perspective, I don't know how you could ever draft him in any format, because his ceiling, I mean, he has one game a year where he does really well, and every other game it seems like it's like a from a 4 to an 8 or a 7 or a 9. I mean, there's just no upside in him whatsoever. Matt Jones definitely looked like the better back against Dallas. I mean, so going forward, he's a guy I would keep an eye on, and especially a guy I would look at in daily formats, because they play the Bears this week, I believe. So it's a pretty good matchup there. And if they give Matt Jones, you know, 18 to 20 carries, he could be a guy that flies totally under radar this week.
Yeah, I like that. I think Matt Jones has clearly shown he's the best back there, but they continue to want to spread the ball. I know we give Alfred Morris a hard time. I agree, he's not the most talented guy, but from an NFL perspective, you know, he's solid but unspectacular. I think the thing that really kills him from a fantasy perspective, he just doesn't catch the ball either, so there's just no upside ever. Moving on to some receivers. Dontrell Inman bouncing back from a scary injury with his neck. On the helmet play. You know, he should be good to go. Test came back good. He's a guy that we've chatted about a lot that we like in this offense. Still liking to move forward.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, him and Stevie Johnson could both get banged up in that game. I mean, they were down to nothing at receiver. I mean, it was Antonio Gates. I mean, against a really good Denver team, so it's not like you're probably going to be playing them anyway. But right now, that team is just a complete mess. I mean, they're clearly out of San Diego, you would think. Probably moving to L.A. or somewhere, not in San Diego. The fans don't even show up for the games. Right now, that team's a mess. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, the safest player on that team is Antonio Gates, and that's not saying much, because we all know that Phillip Rivers loves to throw the ball, but right now, I mean, guys like Inman who are banged up might miss a week, might be ready. going into fantasy football playoffs and elimination games, he's not a guy that's in my lineup unless I'm a total just wheeler and dealer gambler. I mean, that's all it is. He's a guy you're just throwing in there and hoping for the best, because he's not a guy that I would start with confidence right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's so hot. Difficult to look at, but they are fading a little bit. And, you know, I agree. Gates is probably the best play. Stevie Johnson.
I heard he got banged up on the first play. I didn't see the game since I was out watching the Eagles game. He left after the first play and didn't return. They said he should be ready for this week, but he's another guy that, unless you're really, really desperate, he's not a guy that will be in many. They play Kansas City. Kansas City's playing great football right now, offensively and defensively. So I wouldn't be crazy about many Chargers this week. Running back, I mean, Woodhead and Gordon definitely aren't guys that should be in your lineups this week. Like I said, this is Gates or nothing at this point. If you have Rivers, I guess you have to use them unless there's a better option, but definitely not somebody. I wouldn't target many players on that team this week.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the matchup is that negative. Point taken, it's going to be a high-scoring matchup. You know, if you can identify the people who are going to benefit, that's the difficulty in San Diego right now. But I agree that Gates would probably be my best bet. You know, one of these receivers, Stevie Johnson, depending on their injury status, could provide some value. Like you said, the running back situation, though, it's just, you know, keep thinking, you know, maybe Woodhead last week and nothing.
Yeah, he's been pretty bad the last couple of weeks. Definitely been a huge disappointment for teams that either needed to get in the playoffs or needed to put up some points to survive. He's been very, very bad. That whole team's been a disappointment lately.
Yeah, really, because, you know, the Denver matchup really matched up in my mind for Woodhead. They would be trailing a lot, you know, give him some reception. Rashard Matthews, doubtful injury. We did see the rookie step up a little bit. What do you think about the Miami Dolphins receiver situation?
This is the Devontae Parker show now. I mean, there's really no reason to even worry about Kenny Stills. I mean, Rashard Matthews actually had a pretty okay season before he got hurt, but I don't expect him to be ready. I would be surprised if he played the rest of the season. I mean, Devontae Parker had a really nice touchdown catch. So I expect Jarvis Landry is probably the most biggest disappointment last week. Season-long, daily, everywhere. I mean, I thought he was going to be a target monster in a game that the Dolphins would control, and it was a complete disappointment. Very, very big letdown for Landry, but don't run away from Landry this week, because most people are probably going to. He's a guy that might fly a little bit under the radar. He still will get plenty of targets. And Devontae Parker's another guy that I like a lot, but that team's just, it just seems like they're just ready for the season to end. They're just quitting. And they haven't really shown much heart the last couple of weeks. So from a fantasy perspective, Landry, Parker, all starters. Lamar Miller obviously is a starter. Tannehill, I would put him on the fringe right now. Not somebody I'd be crazy about, but, you know, they play the Giants Monday night, and the Giants are pretty dreadful against the pass. Look what Brandon Marshall did against them last week. Eric Decker had a pretty solid game. Ryan Fitzpatrick lit him up, so that could be a matchup that could be way, way under the radar that I definitely like.
You still like Landry over Parker, though, right?
That's not even a question. Landry's a top 10 receiver this year. Top 10 receiver this week in daily format. I think he could be a top 5 receiver. He's a guy that will just be totally under the radar that could be, you know, could be heavily, heavily involved this week on Monday night.
Yeah, I would think that he would bounce back. Like you said, really shocker that he wasn't as, you know, didn't get many targets or touches as we expected. But I agree, still the leader there. I do like what I'm seeing from Parker, and I think he's got a lot of upside down the stretcher. Other than that, though, it's difficult to trust anybody else there right now. Rashard Greene, probably borderline even talking about shoulder injury, should be evaluated later. Allen Robinson really benefited from the lack of Hearns being out there, don't you think? What do you expect moving forward?
Allen Robinson getting a ton of targets. I mean, that guy's a monster right now. I mean, I don't know why they would shy away from him at all. He put on a show last week. I know Allen Hearns was out, but, I mean, Julius Thomas was definitely a little bit of a letdown last week. I expected him to get a lot more work than he did. But right now, Allen Robinson, the guy that is a number one receiver, and with Allen Hearns or without Allen Hearns, he's a top five receiver this week against Indianapolis. We saw what Antonio Brown did. We saw what Martavis Bryant did. We saw what Marcus Wheaton did. If you got Allen Hearns or Allen Robinson or Julius Thomas, start him with confidence this week. Blake Bortles could be a top five quarterback this week.
Yeah, Blake Bortles really stepping up from a fantasy perspective. Allen Hearns looks ready for this week. So, and Allen Hearns, I talked about his, amazing consistency throughout the season. You know, he doesn't have the huge blow up games, but, he had an amazing touchdown streak and, had a great meeting against Indy earlier in the season. So, could be a great week to start your Jaguars. Let's see here. Let's move on to some tight end injury news here. Martellus Bennett placed on IR, ending his season after really trending downwards. That rib injury was difficult. He was trying to tough it out, I think, but ends his season. Kevin White also on the pup there. Will play if he's cleared, according to Fox. What do you make about the Bears' receiving situation?
Obviously, Alshon Jeffery is still going to be the number one target by far. But Zach Miller's a name that will fly under the radar a little bit, especially in daily this week. He's going to be the man at tight end. He was gelling a little bit with Jay Cutler and Martellus Bennett, missed a couple games. So I expect that to continue. I think he's a guy that definitely will be cheap on most sites, on DraftKings especially, and definitely a guy that I like this week. Kevin White, I mean, from a fantasy football perspective and season-long leagues, obviously he's probably not on your team right now. And even if he does get activated soon, I mean, I don't know how you put him in your lineup with confidence, because as talented as he is and what he showed last year at West Virginia, I mean, how do you start a guy who's pretty much going to play two games, three games max in your lineup? I mean, that'd be crazy talk if you put him in your lineup. So this is Zach Miller, a tight end. If you can still add a free agent, he's a guy you 100% add this week. To me, he's the number one free agent in deeper leagues to add if he's available. But, yeah, nothing really too crazy with Kevin White.
Would you add him right now?
Kevin White, no. I mean, I guess if you're really, really, really deep and you want to add him, fine. But I don't see a time when he's ever going to see your lineup the rest of the season. I mean, this is prime time playoffs, championships, tons of money on the line. If you're using Kevin White, you're just, I guess, either trying to outsmart yourself or you're just smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting, picking him up and playing him, but he could be a stash. And, he is a guy that could run, who could – stock could rise substantially just in a couple of weeks. So I agree. I mean, probably not a guy you're playing with any sort of confidence in the playoffs, but if you got some room in the back end of your roster, might not be a bad stash if you got some room still at this point in the season. Crockett Gilmore left the game last week. I guess we'll get an update probably a little later this week. I know Gilmore's a guy you like. What about the Ravens decimated situation? What do you think we make of that?
Realistically, there's nothing to make of it. I mean, that offense is really, really bad outside of Buck Allen right now. Kamari can slightly, but other than that, I mean, you're just not. I mean, they're tight end position right now. Crockett Gilmore's a guy we like, but I mean, how do you depend on them, especially against Seattle this week? I mean, that game could be over by the first quarter. Matt Schaub is going to get destroyed by the Seattle Seahawks. It's a matchup that could get ugly really quick, and just a Ravens team who might just try to get out of the stadium, without getting hurt more, because Seattle's hungry. I mean, they're coming off a beatdown of Minnesota. So from a fantasy perspective, stay away from that whole team. I mean, you have Buck Allen, you're using him. I mean, he's been impressive, really impressive the last 2 weeks. But outside of that, there is not one single Ravens player I would even consider playing. Seattle's probably the number one defense on DraftKings this week.
Yeah, I got to toot our own horn a little bit there on Buck Allen. I think he's a guy that we identified a little bit ahead of the curve. Ended up with him on the back end, a lot of my rosters, and he's coming through big time for me right now, along with another guy named David Johnson, leading the way on one of my biggest leagues. It's just amazing. The difference a couple weeks can make in your fantasy lineups when you constantly are playing to pick up guys with upside and can benefit from an injury, something of that nature. Vernon Davis, concussion protocol, nothing too exciting there, probably not using him. Let's move on to some free agent news for teams that can still add their free agents. Who would you say the number one guy was this week?
I mean, there's not really many free agents out there, frankly, but Zach Miller would be the number one guy I would add at a tight end position that's kind of bipolar this year. Outside of, a couple guys, there hasn't really been much consistency from the tight end position. He's definitely a guy I would add and add with confidence this week.
Going down a list of, guys that shouldn't be available. We'll do a little bit of an abbreviated free agent segment. We usually spend a substantial amount of time here, but we'll try to gloss over some of these. But guys who shouldn't be available anywhere, Ryan Fitzpatrick, really playing great football right now, leading his team, and Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker also just playing great football. Decent start in your fantasy playoffs, don't you think?
Totally, yeah, 100% agree.
Andrew Luck, we talked about, maybe an ad some places. Marcus Mariota, probably not available anywhere. Got a lot of upside with that 87-yard touchdown run. What a play there. And when you got a guy who can run for 100 yards, especially in daily formats like our partners at DraftKings, would give you a bonus for running for 100 yards and passing for 300, or puts up a big number last week. So definitely guys shouldn't be available. Definitely has some upside. Brock Osweiler, we've talked a bit about him. We've seen when they don't really need him to do much, though, he's not asked to do much. So you really got to play him, I think, only in specific matchups. But he's a guy who could be a spot start down the stretch, specifically at Pittsburgh and versus Cincinnati. Even though they're difficult matchups, you would think that he would have to put up some points in order to be competitive in those games, don't you think?
It would have to be. And they're definitely going to put up points to even, keep the game manageable. And that game could get both games get ugly quickly. Definitely going to have to put up numbers. Absolutely.
And so in those situations, I actually like him. Right now, Brock Osweiler is 3-0, but probably really only 1-0 from really being challenged at all in the New England game and, benefited from some breaks and things. So it'll be interesting to see him and how he plays at Pittsburgh and versus Cincinnati, where he's going to be asked to make some plays. I do expect some good things. Tyrod Taylor, kind of struggling since he came back from his injuries, but with Sammy Watkins kind of turning it on, you'd think he's a guy that you should have on your roster as your backup probably, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's going to be pretty heavily owned this week, I think, on DraftKings also, because they play Philadelphia in a game where you would think it's going to be a lot of LeSean McCoy. In my opinion, LeSean McCoy will probably be the number one or two owned running back, if not player, this week, just because how Rex Ryan is. I mean, he's a guy who likes to stick it to teams. So expect, LeSean McCoy to get a ton of work, and Tyrod Taylor could be the benefactor of that just because he could get a lot of single coverage on the outside with Watkins and maybe Robert Woods.
I was expecting more from McCoy last week as far as receptions. He still had a solid game rushing the football.
He got banged up. He left the game for a little bit with concussion, concussion protocol. He came back, but, he did miss some time, so it definitely took a little, wind out of his sails. And the Texans pretty solid.
No receptions was kind of concerning, but I agree. I like him moving forward. No Carlos Williams last week, really made me think he's going to have a potential for a huge game and, had a good game, but again, just the receptions that he was missing. But, I saw some interesting stat. I think it was every one but one game he had 100 yards or a touchdown. you know, when you combine his rushing and receiving. So solid, solid year from McCoy. Jameis Winston, you know, getting all his weapons back. My ASJ egg finally hatches. You know, I get him back, and you know, in one league, I actually lost Bennett for the year, and I, you know, still have two tight ends, shockingly, and I've got ASJ and I've got Ebron. Who am I rolling with?
Wow, I mean, I think the obvious decision is ASJ this week against New Orleans. I mean,
yeah,
I think me and you could throw for probably, you know, 200 yards and three TDs against them.
Yeah, I had some big flag football days back in the day, and some in high school even. But you know, I think I got 200 again.
I think I got it in me still.
You got a few years on me. I'll give you 300, maybe for 250. But yeah, I agree. I think ASJ's probably got a little more upside for me, and you know, this Tampa offense does have substantial upside with all their weapons back, specifically this week against New Orleans. Got to keep them all on your radar for daily, don't you think?
Definitely, yeah. They'll definitely be Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, Doug Martin, ASJ, Jameis Winston will be probably somewhere in the 10 to 15% owned, I would think, from a quarterback perspective.
None of them
all
are
guys
really,
that got to be on the radar.
Yeah, they're all on my radar, you know, only because of the matchup, really. I mean, they're just not really my cup of tea, but, you know, gosh.
They aren't mine either because their ceilings are so low. They're low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jameis Winston threw for 5 touchdowns against the Eagles a couple weeks ago and really didn't do that much from a fantasy perspective. I mean, he wasn't even the leading scorer on DraftKings that week, which was a little surprising. I just don't think he's playing great football, and I can honestly sit here and say I was totally wrong. He's definitely impressed me in the last couple of weeks. He just seems like he's just trying to get better every week. Obviously, he still has rookie moments, but, I mean, he made a great, outstanding play against the Falcons to keep them in the game and finally, you know, deliver them to the win with a touchdown pass to Mike Evans. But Winston's definitely been impressive. But I think I might fade them a little bit this week just because, again, I just don't see many, you know, 10 catch, 140-yard, 2-touchdown performances out of Mike Evans from Winston.
It happened this week, but, yeah, I think I agree. You know, I'm not – even with the juicy matchup, I'm not salivating to put any of one of them in my DraftKings lineup, although we'll get to that here in just a minute. Maybe I can look at some of their salaries. You know, then it kind of leaves you a list of, you know, downward-trending quarterbacks, but – still might be, you know, backups if you're reaching. Jay Cutler, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Brian Hoyer, Sam Bradford, you know, all viable backups in my mind if you need somebody. Anybody else in your mind at quarterback?
Johnny Football, just kidding.
Hey, man, you know, he's probably only a name or two from the names I listed, you know. they were calling for him in Cleveland, and I don't blame him. I mean, I don't blame him either.
I mean, so the guy went out and partied. I'm not saying that's what he should have done. He should have been suspended, but, I mean, Austin Davis was dreadful. Put him in the second half and give him a chance. Like, if you don't want him on the team, then just cut him. Like, why do you bother?
Yep.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, now it almost seems like a burden to them to see what they have in Manziel. Yeah. But I got to think that it's going to be his show moving forward so that the franchise can move forward either with him or without him with confidence.
Exactly.
Moving on to some running backs, you know, guys that shouldn't be available. Sean Drone's a guy, really been delivering, shouldn't be available anywhere. You know, guy plays a ton of snaps, and even with a terrible offense. Finally got a touchdown last week and suddenly had a great day, you know. I don't know about great, but a darn good one for his for what you expect out of getting him so late or so cheap in drafting.
He is absolutely a guy that you got. I mean, he's a starter every week now. I mean, he's a guy that's, we always say, you know, touches and targets are what we care about. And guys like that, I mean, is he going to be the sexiest running back right now? No, but I mean, the sexiest running back, Adrian Peterson, had 8 carries last week, which I could probably do a whole show on what an idiot North Turner is. But Sean Jones is definitely a starter in every format. without a doubt.
You know, Ryan Matthews would probably be the next guy to talk about. Again, if he's available anywhere, I think he's my, you know, pick for, you know, leading that backfield moving forward. Probably not available in a lot of spots. Other guys shouldn't be available in most places. James Starks, what do you make about, you know, I started Lacey last week, almost lost my fantasy chances in one league. Thank goodness I lucked out and won with Lacey's terrible performance. What do you think?
I mean, I wish this coaches would just tell you up front, you know, from a fantasy perspective, that Eddie Lacey is going to get benched. Our lives would be so much easier. Guys who have James Starks would be happy. Guys who had Eddie Lacey in the lineup would take him out and wouldn't lose their mind putting up 1 point on a Thursday in a game that's probably the most important of their season. But life just ain't that easy. So from going forward, I just think Starks is probably a safer option. But I still think Eddie Lacey is going to get plenty of touches. Green Bay got as lucky as they come. Jim Caldwell should be fired. I don't know how Calvin Johnson, Eric Ebron, how they're just not on the field in that position. It just makes no sense to me. I mean, you got a guy pretty much who can get up and get any ball, and he's sitting on the bench, and you have five guys back there trying to bat the ball down. It's just totally mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. I think I'll probably roll Starks moving forward, but, you know, pretty much a split there, and, you know, really disappointing because it does kind of kill their values, but you know, I got fooled into thinking Lacey was okay because I only I think I started him not the first week he kind of blew up, but the next week, and then really burned me. Carlos Williams should be back, and you know, is another impressive rookie who's really shown a nose for the end zone. Worth rostering, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, he definitely shouldn't be on any waiver wires. I mean, the guy, when he plays, he scores touchdowns. What else can you ask for? Is he startable? I don't think so. Not this week. I expect LeSean McCoy to get 30 touches this week. I really think Rex Ryan is going to do everything in his power to stick it down Chip Kelly's throat. Will it work? I sure hope not. But, I mean, he's going to get plenty of touches, and Carlos Williams should be eased back in. But this week will be the LeSean McCoy show, you would think.
Agreed, and I think it's even more so if Williams misses the game. You know, I mean, I really love McCoy in that matchup. Got to think of revenge game. They're going to be looking to stick it to him, and
hopefully they are wrong because I'll be there yelling like an idiot, booing McCoy as loud as I possibly can.
What do you make of the Detroit running back situation? Who's your pick moving forward? We talk about this every week, I feel like.
I mean, we talk about the same thing every weekend. I still think the answer is still the same, Theo Riddick. I mean, he didn't do anything last week, but, I mean, if you're starting Joik Bell or Amir Abdullah right now, I pray for you. I don't know how you're still alive in fantasy football.
Yeah. I agree with that. James White probably shouldn't be available anywhere. You know, blows up catching the football against the Eagles. Well, you expect that to continue? You think he's available anywhere?
Probably not. I mean, it's kind of 50-50 right now at that point.
You like him moving forward?
I would roster him moving forward. I'm not crazy about him, though.
Mm-hmm. Clearly in situations where they, you know, New England's in a competitive game and needs to score points, though, I feel like James White's a guy that you could turn to now.
I mean, games like last week, I mean, you saw what James White could bring to the table. I mean, but will it be Brandon Bolden next week? You just never know. Belichick, Deion Lewis really solidified that running back position. And, I mean, you know what you're going to get from LeGarrette Blount, you know, 5-6 yards. He's not catching passes. If you're starting LeGarrette Blount, this might be the week because, I mean, they're going to be pissed off. New England is not going to be happy this week. And going to Houston, that could be a matchup that I don't care who's playing for Tom Brady. I expect New England to come out there and make a statement.
Agreed. Bilal Powell back in the lineup, looked like he's healthy, making some plays. Shouldn't be available. If he is, go get him. Darren Sproles, we talked about him, shouldn't be available. Robert Turbin, you know, a guy that some people have been kind of stashing, you know, kind of got a shot with McFadden having some fumbling issues, and, you know, maybe needing a little bit of a breather for taking some big hits, but really didn't show much. And McFadden came back in and scored the only touchdown of the pathetic game, and shows that I think he's the best back there, clearly, don't you?
Not even close. I mean, when I saw McFadden going out, I was actually really excited because I don't own him anywhere, and I own Robert Turbin in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping to see something out of Turbin that made me get excited for the next couple of weeks, and it never happened. And McFadden came back in, and he left with what people thought was a concussion. So I expect this to be Darren McFadden show the rest of the season on an offense that might be the worst in football right now or one of the worst. I mean, that game last night was just absolutely pathetic to watch from both sides. I mean, outside of the last 2 minutes, what a terrible football game to watch.
Alfred Blue really struggling as a starter there, probably not available anywhere. Charles Sims, we talked about him a lot, probably, you know, not to be too excited, but should be rostered. Antonio,
he's just stuck right now behind Doug Martin. I mean, Doug Martin's playing great football. I think Sims on a just say a team like New England would be a very, very good player right now. Team like Houston, another team like the Giants, he'd be the best running back by far.
Antonio Andrews and David Cobb, we, you know, we kind of like Andrews, but Cobb, you know, digging into that now.
I mean, I don't, from a fantasy perspective, stay away.
Agreed. Dan Heron, you know, back out there, you know, could be an ad. Didn't do much last week. Got in there, but Dan Heron's a guy that could have some upside down the stretch still, don't you think?
He disappointed me last week. I expected him, especially in a game that was a blowout, to play more. I actually spot-started him in a couple places, just gambling a little bit, and that definitely blew up in my face.
That might have been a little too aggressive, but, you know, down the stretch, you know, Gore is beat up a bit, so wouldn't be surprised if Heron got some more playing PT moving forward. It was just his first game back. Yeah,
that is true.
Jay Ajayi is a guy we both like. We talked about him a bit. Shouldn't be available. Pick him up. I like his upside. You know, Tevin Coleman, you know, people may have dropped the Freeman's back. Still got a lot of upside with another Freeman injury. Anybody else you'd be, like, stashing at this point?
There really isn't many stash guys right now. I mean, I don't see there being anybody that's way, way under the radar that Chris Polk maybe in Houston. Mm-hmm. But outside of him, no.
I mean, I suppose Kerwin Williams would be next man up for David
Johnson. That's a good name. Kerwin Williams is a guy that is a name that I mentioned in the free agents this week for BFD. He's a guy that, if you're really, really, really desperate, might not be the worst start this week, because I was just looking on Roto World, and there's a couple different sites on Fox that have said that three of the Viking starters will be out this week. Linville Joseph, Anthony Barr, and Smith are out this week. So, I mean, they're three big, big players on their defense. So, if you own David Johnson, I would just play, you know, we don't like playing Thursday DraftKings games, but with the final week of qualifiers and everything, I'm going to play as many as I can just so I can get David Johnson in my lineup, because I expect him to have 25 plus touches. And he's just ridiculously cheap.
Oh, man. And he could have a multiple touchdown, 100-yard game, no doubt.
It's literally impossible to avoid him. I realistically will only play Thursday games just because of him. Because outside of that, maybe Fitzgerald. But, I mean, his value is crazy right now.
Yeah, David Johnson, obviously a guy that we love here at BFD. Won us, again, the guy we named last week, won us some money drafting. Moving on to some receivers, only about 10 minutes left here. We've got to pick up pace here a little bit. Guys shouldn't be available. You know, Doug Baldwin really turning it up with Jimmy Graham out, don't you think?
Definitely. He's definitely shouldn't be on any – he should be starting in every format right now.
Yeah, I've got one more shallow league where I picked him up last week, and geez, now I think I got to start him. Kamar Aiken.
I would bench Doug Baldwin this week. That game is going to get ugly, I'm telling you, against Baltimore. He better get it earlier. He's not going to get it.
Good point. You know, maybe a little bit matchup specific with Baldwin. Guys shouldn't be available anywhere. Devontae Parker, we talked about him. Definitely love his upside. Shouldn't be available. Probably got scooped up everywhere last week. Mar Aiken, been solid on spectacular. Still getting lots of volume from the human pick six target, Matt Schaub. You called it, man. Dude can't protect the football. And I've been playing some defenses against him. And, God, what do you think the odds are in Vegas that he throws his third straight pick six this weekend?
It's got to be very good. I mean, and they play Seattle, and Seattle's number one in defense. I mean, the highest defense on DraftKings this week, but we never ever recommend spending money on a defense. They're as sure as they come this week with you know, at Baltimore, 3,500. I mean, Seattle has to be a 40% owned defense, in my opinion.
Okay, Doriel Green-Beckham finally has a breakout performance the last week, goes over 100 yards and a touch. Could be available in some shallower leagues, I suppose, but I doubt it. Love his upside moving forward. Do you think he's the number one moving forward, or do you think Kendall Wright steps back into that role? He played, you know, the last couple weeks.
Delanie Walker's still the number one target in Tennessee, but Green-Beckham at the receiver position, I think going forward is the man. I mean, Kendall Wright's still banged up. Harry Douglas is a marginal NFL receiver. So this is going to be the Walker Green Beckham show, you would think, for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, mentioned Kendall Wright here. If he's available, I definitely like him. You know, with this offense having some upside, I do like his potential for his value. Other guys shouldn't be available. Marvin Jones. You know, Brian Hartline probably shouldn't be available anywhere now at this point if you're in any sort of deep league with receivers. You know, 11 targets, 8 for 83 last week. What do you think about him?
Oops. Last week on the show, I made fun of Brian Hartline a lot. And I mean, I just watching the Cleveland Browns is dreadful. I mean, if you're starting Brian Hartline, I'm still going to make fun of you. But, I mean, with Johnny Manziel, they're still going to be behind plenty, and they're going to throw the ball. So definitely worth an ad, especially if Travis Benjamin's out this week for any reason.
Yeah, exactly. In your defense, Benjamin left early, so yeah, he did benefit a lot from that. Cecil Shorts, I think he's worth adding.
Not against a really pissed off New England team, no.
Still, you know, 10 targets, I think, last week. Pretty solid, 6 for 91. Ted Ginn, yeah, could have had a huge day, even huger day. I mean, I feel like he missed him on another touchdown or two.
I feel like that guy runs open 10 times a game and drops five of them. I swear, every time I see him, he's wide open.
Seriously. Or Cam misses him sometimes, too. It's like,
geez. It doesn't make any sense. How many balls, how many touchdowns has he dropped this year? He probably had 12 touchdowns.
Seriously. But, you know, still goes to show you there's plenty of opportunity there. Just, you know, not a lot of capitalization from the Carolina receivers. Funchess, I suppose, you know, stepping up a little bit. But, you know, Ginn looks like the number one, don't you think?
Yeah, Ginn's definitely the number one. With Philly Brown now, I mean, I saw Devin Funchess play 28 snaps last week. Shocking to me personally, because I think him and Ginn could be formidable on the outside with Greg Olsen and make Carolina a lot more of a dangerous team. But Philly Brown does absolutely nothing for that team, which is sometimes coaches try to outsmart themselves. Funch is a talent. Philly Brown's a stiff.
Reuben Randall, Torrey Smith. God, I don't even know. Torrey Smith's just not a guy I like ever going to battle with. He got a big play last week, but only two catches, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to battle with Reuben Randall either. It's Odell Beckham and Odell Beckham, and if you really want to get dangerous, get Will Tye, tight end.
Well, there you go. You're on board Will Tye now. I don't know. Tyler Lockett. I mean, I'm just trying to think of other receivers here that got some upside. Nate Washington. J.J. Nelson's a guy I picked up a couple weeks ago. Seth Roberts is a guy I picked up a couple weeks ago. Roddy White with Leonard Hankerson on IR, you know, could have some life. Again, very little upside, but, you know, if you're super desperate, I suppose. Moving on to some tight ends, Scott Chandler, you know, again, the guy with Gronk. Looks like Gronk, it doesn't sound like he's going to play this weekend, don't you think?
No, it's going to be a Chandler show. I would think one more week.
Richard Rodgers blew up last week. Could still be available in some shallower leagues. You like him moving forward?
I like him moving forward, but I don't like him this week because, I mean, the Green Bay Packers should blow out Dallas. I don't see Dallas being in the game. So, I mean, their skill position players are not guys I'd recommend this week. Richard Rodgers will be way too heavily owned in daily formats, especially, you know, because of his big game against the Lions. He's definitely the leader in the clubhouse for one of my number one fades this week.
ASJ, Austin Seferin Jenkins, the guy I've been talking about a lot for a long time, finally back in the field. Didn't set the world on fire, but don't expect that in the first game. He's still involved, 3 for 31. Like his upside moving forward. Like I said, I've been sitting on that egg for a long time, so hopefully I'll get some value out of that. I do think he's got substantial upside. You know, Zach Ertz, a guy that you know, may be out there, didn't exactly do much against the Patriots, but, you know, he had a solid, you know, unspectacular season. Will Tye's a guy you just mentioned that, you know, may be worth a spot here. You know, put up a decent 3 for 70 last week. Eric Ebron, the guy I talked about, and I got on one of my rosters. Him and ASJ, I'm going to have to roll with now at tight end. But Ebron really hasn't been doing much since his injury, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, ASJ is definitely the guy you're going to be using going down the stretch. Ebron's way inconsistent.
Jacob Tammy shouldn't be available. Zach Miller is a guy you talked about earlier, probably the number one ad here. So if he's available, I think you got to go out and get him with Bennett done for the year. Other guys that might be available, Charles Clay, Kyle Rudolph, and Ryan Griffin. Yeah, just none of these names too exciting, but if you're digging super deep. Let's switch gears into the DraftKings just with about 2 minutes left here. Any guys stick out to you that we haven't already chatted about that you're looking at rostering this weekend?
I mean, obviously that we talked about the Steelers. I mean, they're probably going to be heavily, heavily owned this week with Bryant and Antonio Brown. Allen Robinson obviously is a name we like. Allen Hurns is a name who will be very, very under the radar this week coming off an injury. Jarvis Landry coming off a bad week is a guy I like. Zach Miller is a guy who will be very, very cheap that we mentioned. Let me just look real quick. I wrote this down.
You got to like David Johnson again, don't you think?
Obviously, David Johnson, if you're playing the Thursday games, will be heavily owned.
Anybody
like
else like that Thursday game?
No, I mean, absolutely not. I think it's going to be David Johnson. Maybe Fitzgerald. I like Sammy Watkins this week against Philadelphia. Let's see.
Yeah, Jeremy Maclin.
Jeremy Maclin's a name who I didn't like last week. I thought he would come back to earth a little bit. He's just getting tons of targets in San Diego this week.
Richard Rodgers, we just thought about, might be some value. Allen Robinson, of course, setting the world on fire. Start your Jaguars, Lord, all of them probably great value. Nick Bortles, also great value.
Green Beckham, Darrell Green Beckham, 3,700 is definitely a name you got to watch, especially if Darrell Revis misses another game. He should be back, but if he misses the game, that's a great value, especially the receiver position, which most people will spend heavy money on the top guys and forget guys at the bottom.
Hey, man, I love it. I think we just got to leave it there. You know, again, we're in the fantasy playoffs, so time for everybody. Go out and hope you have a secured buy, advance yourself through your playoffs. Qualify for the Fantasy Football World Championships through our friends over at DraftKings. Best of luck in the epic Week 14, everyone.
I'm not afraid. Yeah. Not afraid. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one.
Don't be afraid to make a stand.
Some of you might still be in that place.
Everybody.
Be trying to get out. Just follow me. I'll consider it.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them. But you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you're doing.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.